start with an introduction. Take it away, Amber.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm Amber Hines. I'm the CEO of Equalize Digital, and I'm really excited to be here. Thanks.
Welcome. So, since you brought up Equalize Digital, wanted to know what that was and how it got started.
Sure. Yeah. So we are a certified B Corporation that specializes in website accessibility, specifically in the WordPress field, which, if you have any listeners that aren't familiar, WordPress is a content management system that can be used to build websites. And it's a free platform, but it's used by almost half the websites on the internet to build their websites. And so we, as a company, are really focused on helping. We have two arms. We have our services arm, which helps our customers build websites that are accessible. We do accessibility audits. We do user testing with people with disabilities and remediation. We also build brand new websites from scratch from an accessibility-first perspective. And then we have a software product called Accessibility Checker, which is an automated tool which can be used to identify web content accessibility guideline errors and point them out to developers or content creators to help them keep their websites accessible, and it can help speed up the manual accessibility testing process. So that's a little bit about what we are. And Equalize Digital is a relatively young still company. We were founded by myself, my partner. I have two partners, Chris, who's our COO, and Steve, who is our CTO. And the three of us have been working together for 5 years building websites for clients. And we kind of got into accessibility initially in 2016. And we really realized during COVID and the pandemic, we were talking about making some pivots in our business. And we realized that we really wanted to focus full time on accessibility. So we launched Equalize Digital at the end of 2020, and launched our software product at the we really started promoting it at the beginning of 2021. So it's sort of a spinoff from our marketing agency that we've been doing.
Okay. That sounds awesome. I should partner with you guys. How did you become a disability-related entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that we kind of started working in the accessibility field in 2016, and it was a little bit of what I call trial by fire. So we got hired to build a website for Colorado State University, and all higher education institutions in the United States have to have accessible websites under Section 508 laws. And I will fully admit that when we first got hired, we were not prepared to do that. And so we had to learn as we went and put in some extra work and changes to make sure that the final website when it launched was accessible. And that was just my initial introduction to accessibility. And then over the next few years, we did more work for higher ed and government clients. And through one of those, we actually planned to have users come in, and we had some students from Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired that we hired to test websites for us. And that really, I think, was one of the most compelling experiences that I had that motivated me to really want to focus on accessibility full time, because getting to speak with the students personally, they came to our office, watching them navigate the web with various screen readers and really getting to know them really motivated me to want to do more, because I saw firsthand some of the challenges that they experienced. And so that really was what got me into accessibility. And then, you know, sort of realizing that we have the ability to give back through our company and not just build websites that benefit our client, the business, but actually build websites that benefit the entire world and all of the users that potentially could come onto that website.
Okay. Yeah, it can be a challenge with screen readers. I use one, so I know what it's like trying to navigate a website that's partly accessible or not accessible at all, and then you contact the company and, ugh.
Well, and I mean, that's if you can find contact information, right? I've seen a lot of websites out there where it's like they don't even have any way to contact them if you run across an accessibility problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll talk about what in the disability field makes you angry?
So I think there's a couple of things. Working in web and doing accessibility audits, I think one of the things that is most frustrating for me is that there's a lot of dishonest or false advertising out there. I think there it falls into two buckets. So one is, of course, the accessibility overlay companies frequently talk about things like, you know, pay us $49 a month, install this line of JavaScript, and your whole website will be accessible in 24 hours, which is just completely unrealistic and untrue. And I feel like they take advantage of business owners who probably want to do the right thing and want to make their websites work. They use a lot of fear-based advertising, which is not great. And that's really frustrating for me because I feel like that can give, you know, those of us working in the field trying to build really accessible websites a bad name. And on that same front, I get super frustrated when we get brought in to do an audit of a website that's not, you know, not one that's been around for a long time, but we've had one recently. It was a nonprofit in California. It was a brand new website. And they had told the people who built that it needed to be accessible. They told them, we're going to have Equalize Digital come in and audit it so that we can, you know, work out any little bugs. But it had so many problems that I was almost like, you need to scrap this and start over. And I just felt like they really got taken advantage of, and maybe the web developer didn't actually know accessibility at all, and they had no business, you know, building that website or saying we can do it. And so I think that was really, I don't know, that's just something that frustrates me because I feel bad for the businesses or the nonprofits that are trying to do it right, and then there's not really any clear what that means or how to assess a company, and it's really frustrating, I'm sure, for them, and it's frustrating for me working in the industry.
Right. So what about the disability field makes you happy?
Well, I would say one of the things that I have really enjoyed, you know, as I got deeper and deeper into the community is how open and supportive everyone is. I've been doing a lot of learning as I go, and I really think that, you know, I've connected with people on LinkedIn or Twitter that I've been able to learn a ton from. There's some really great conferences out there. So like AxeCon is one, for example, that DQ puts on, and it's 100% free, and they have amazing speakers over, you know, in four different tracks, running simultaneous sessions over multiple days. And then even if you can't attend, you can watch the recordings online or read transcripts online. So I feel like there's a ton of resources out there, and just everyone is very supportive of people learning and growing, which is, you know, really great if you want to get more into the disability field or the web accessibility field in particular. And that, I think, is positive because that's really what's going to lead us to being able to make progress, is having free resources out there that anyone who's interested can join, and they don't have to invest a ton of money in order to learn and start doing better with making their websites accessible.
Mm-hmm. So if you could have coffee or some other beverage with a celebrity in the disability field, who would it be and why?
I have two people for this.
Okay.
So on the side of someone who has a disability or is a disability advocate, I think one of my top people would be Haben Girma. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her or your listeners are, but she is a woman who is deaf and blind, and she was the first deaf-blind person to graduate from Harvard Law School. She has a book out about her experience, and I've had the opportunity to hear her speak twice at two different conferences, not in person, but virtually, and I'm so impressed with everything that she has done, but also how she advocates out in the community. And I'd love to have the ability to sit down with her personally and hear her thoughts and be able to just like ask her, what would you like me to do that I could help with? So she is definitely top of my list. The other person is someone that I speak with on Twitter, and he's come and spoken at some of our events, but I've never really had the time to sit down and pick his brain. But his name is Carl Groves, and he is more in the web accessibility field like I am, and he has built a similar auditing product like mine, and so I really would love to chat with him, both, you know, to learn more from him on how he has grown in the accessibility field, but also what his experiences have been like as a business owner in accessibility, because he, you know, is kind of has a similar professional path to what I would hope mine can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, I've heard of the first one. I've never read her work or anything, but I've heard of her though. So here's a question that was not on the list, but I came across it. What is your approach to networking?
Yeah, I would say that I these days I'm doing a lot of virtual networking. I recently got into Twitter. I hadn't been doing a ton on Twitter, and I kind of decided I'm going to go on Twitter and just going and starting to talk to people, following different threads with that use the hashtag A11Y is helpful, and then really, you know, commenting on people's a lot, and so that's been a way that I've started to talk to people. I actually run a virtual meetup on web accessibility that meets twice per month, and I've used some of the relationships that I've grown through Twitter or LinkedIn to ask people to come and speak, and I think that has furthered some of my network and my reach, having this meetup and having people, you know, meeting people and asking them to come speak and share their expertise, which is great because it gives me the ability to learn from them and everyone else who attends the meetup, but also, you know, helps them sort of be more aware of who I am in the space. But that's primarily what I've been doing. I speak quite a bit, and I feel like that has grown my network as well. I'm only just starting to get back into in-person events. I went to one or two during South by Southwest. I'm in the Austin area, and there's an Austin accessibility meetup, and there was one during South by Southwest, so I drove down to Austin and went to that, which was fun because I got to meet a few people that I'd only ever met on the web, and I met them in person for the first time, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds like fun. The virtual meetup, that sounds like something I need to get involved in.
Yeah, it's just if you go on meetup.com and you look for WordPress accessibility meetup, then you can find it. I can also send you the link. It's just on our website. We record, so we have live captioning. Sometimes we have ASL, but it depends on our sponsors and whether we have sponsorship to cover that. But we do record everything after the fact, too, and put them up, which is I learn at every meetup. I learn something from our speakers, and I'm just honored some of the people that we have who come and speak at it.
Okay, yeah. So you'll have to send me the link so I can sign up and everything. So what are three podcasts that you would recommend to my – three other podcasts that you would recommend to my audience and why?
Yeah, so As far as podcasts in the accessibility field, two of my favorites that I listen to all the time are the A11Y Rules podcast by Nicholas Steinhout is the person who puts that out. And he, one of the things that I love about it is he's been doing what he calls accessibility sound bites, and he gets users on, and they're like 5 to 7 minute episodes. They're very short, and basically he asks them three questions. So the first one is they just describe their disability, and then the second one is they describe what challenges they face on the web, and then the third is if they could say anything to designers and developers, what would it be? And that podcast has really opened my eyes to different challenges that different people face. And as someone who is planning websites, it's really helpful to hear different things because he brings on people from a wide variety of backgrounds. So he's had deaf people. He's had people who are blind. He's had sighted keyboard-only users. He had someone who had very limited mobility and could only use one or two fingers on one hand. And so that person used a Darcy USB keyboard, which is a Morse code keyboard, in order to engage with the web. He's had people who use Dragon Speak, so they're speaking everything. And so it's really been very eye-opening to me, all the different kinds of technologies people use to engage with the web and the different things that they are hoping to see on websites. So that's the A11Y Rules podcast. I really like Allied by 3Play Media. So that's another one that is definitely focused on how to make websites accessible. And then, you know, I was trying to think of if I had a third accessibility one. I listened to a fair number of WordPress podcasts, which are not really necessarily accessibility focused. I listened to some different business podcasts, and also some UX ones. So a good like UX one, which occasionally touches on accessibility, but it's more like general user experience, is User Defenders. I think he just said that he was going to take a break from the podcast, which is a little bit of a bummer, but that was a good one that I liked as well.
Okay. So who influenced you to get into this field?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a specific person. I spoke a little bit earlier about, you know, doing work with Colorado State University on their websites, and that was really the first experience I had with it. And then there were just, like, some of the students that we worked with from Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired and speaking with them personally. There's one young man, Devin, who comes to mind, who he has both learning disabilities and he's blind, and he I think might be on the autism spectrum, he's highly intelligent, he's a fabulous musician, and just being able to talk with him and hear some of his thoughts were really inspirational to me. But I don't know if there was one specific person that inspired me. It was just an amalgamation of some of the work experience I had and then some of the different users that I've had the ability to engage with.
Okay. So what are three books that you would recommend to my audience and why?
So this is a hard question for me because I will fully admit that these days I do not read a lot of books. I've been reading a lot of business books, and I don't know if they're not very accessibility focused.
Right.
I have like a big list of accessibility or user experience books kind of on my to read list, but I hate to shout them out because I haven't read them yet. But if I can, I might highlight some blogs that I think are worth following. Just in my life, I feel like between having a business and four kids, like the book thing doesn't happen as much as it probably should be, which is why I listen to a lot more podcasts. But on the digital reading, I like the A11Y Weekly, which you can either just read it in the archive on his website, or you can subscribe as a newsletter, and it'll come every week. And that one is super helpful because he basically has links out to other articles. So it's a way to filter and find other articles on the web related to accessibility. I really like Lainey Feingold, who is one of the top disability rights lawyers in the United States. She's been working in this field for, I want to say, 30 years, and was instrumental in, like, some of the top lawsuits and like structured negotiations with some banks and related to website accessibility in the 90s and since. But Lainey has a blog where she writes about accessibility laws and court cases and decisions and shares her legal opinion. So I really like that from a legal perspective to stay on top of things. And it's actually coming from an attorney and not just someone who doesn't know law and is trying to make it up. In the WordPress space, I follow Joe Dolson, who is one of the core contributors to the accessibility team in the WordPress software. He puts out a blog where he talks about general accessibility, but also accessibility specific in WordPress. And because he is part of the accessibility team in WordPress, you know, it's following what he does is important to me because it helps me stay on top of what's happening with the tools that we use to build websites. So I'm sorry I don't have any books, but I'm hoping that the blogs are helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Lainey speak. I can't remember what it was, but it was a conference, and she is good. So I've heard her speak. Yeah,
I like Lainey's stuff because, you know, I'm not a legal person, and sometimes when you read stuff from lawyers, it's so dense you don't even understand it, but I never feel that way with her. Like, I feel like she does a really good job of breaking it down for someone who's not, you know, a legal expert. And so I can understand what she's saying.
Right, yeah. I think the conference I heard her speak at was talking about some of the lawsuits and everything, and so, yeah. It did make me more aware. I mean, I know that people can get sued if they, you know, break the law and they don't have their things accessible, but I had no idea there were so many that were, like, current stuff, you know. Like, today, in 2022, is still going on? What?
Yeah, it's crazy. And, I'm actually optimistic that there'll be more, which sounds a little bit horrible, but, like, I think one of the benefits of the lawsuits is that it draws more attention to it, and that's maybe, like, motivating more changes in the laws to be more strict and to require businesses to make their things accessible.
Right.
I mean, that was with the Department of Justice on March 18th, they put out a statement specifically saying, yes, the Americans with Disabilities Act does apply to websites. And up until that point, when people would sue businesses, the businesses would try and say, oh, it doesn't apply to websites.
Right.
It only applies to physical properties, which is crazy.
I know.
And so I think what motivated them to do that is that there has been an increase in lawsuits, and people have been saying, we need to have guidelines from you or guidance on what to do. I think they maybe could have been a little bit firmer about what it actually means to be accessible, but just saying that, yes, it does apply to websites and it's important for websites to be accessible, especially if we think, like, post-COVID and how many people are trying to order groceries online and not have to go to the store or whatever, you know. It has to work for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So where do you self-educate?
So I mentioned my WordPress meetup, and honestly, like, that's been one of my top things is getting, you know, big speakers. So, for example, Lainey was our last speaker to come in, because then I almost kind of use it like, hey, who do I want to learn from? And so I'll reach out to that person and be like, will you come speak? I mentioned, you know, some of the podcasts that I listen to, some of the blogs that I read. I also have done a few of the, we're a a member of the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, IAAP, and they have some training courses for their certifications. And so I've done a few of those. I think DQ is a really great place to go if you want to learn specifically about web accessibility. Those are some of my top resources.
Okay. So what do you wish that people understood about your job?
Oh, boy. I think one of the things that I wish website owners or, you know, business owners understood
right.
is that accessibility is not just something for this small number of people. So I think sometimes they think, I don't want to pay money to do an extra accessibility audit of my website. It's not worth it because maybe I have one or two customers, but out of everyone I serve, right? Like, I don't think they really realize how much it touches on so many people that could potentially be patronizing their business or using their website. And then I think they also, I wish they understood too that accessibility, it can do so much. Like, there's so much as far as, like, it speeds up your website, right? It can help
right.
you with your search engine ranking. Like, there's just so many reasons to do it. And so, I mean, from a business owner perspective, that's what I wish they understood. I wish they understood how important it is and how much it can help them, you know, reach everyone, make more sales. Like, it is beneficial. It's not just an expense or a cost. You know, it's doing good in the world, but and in the end of the day, it will help their bottom line.
Right.
I think that's, like, one of the top things that I wish people understood. I mean, I think also probably there's just the logistics of, you know, what accessibility testing or having users audit a website does that I think maybe people don't understand. And some people think that it's just the automated scanning, which can be helpful, but, you know, you do have to have manual tests
yeah.
or have a human being look at things because there are things that scanning tools won't check. And I say that as someone who has a scanning tool software, right? But, like, it still requires people, and that's another thing that I wish, you know, people understood, like, how detailed it is. And that probably helps to explain some of the cost, right? Because it's not just a machine or a computer. Like, you need to have actual people looking.
Right, exactly. I know that I was on that conference where Lainey spoke, and I think even the lady who presented was saying with accessibility, you need a human. You can't just be all automated stuff. It has to have a human involved in it. So I completely agree with that.
Mhm. Yeah, it really is important to have people and multiple people and different people. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about too sometimes that it's great to have screen reader users, and that's an important audience. But
right.
for some people, like, let's say you serve elderly people, maybe it makes sense to bring in an older person who's not tech savvy and have them navigate the website and
right.
make sure that they can find what they need or do whatever they're supposed to be doing on the website. Or maybe you need to have people with cognitive impairments test the website and see if it's possible, because there's a lot of different disabilities that I think maybe get left out sometimes and people don't realize.
Right. All right. So what has changed since you started, from when you started to now, you know, in your job?
Well, I want to say that there is definitely a greater awareness of web accessibility. So I feel like, especially in the WordPress space, but just overall, we've seen, so we talked about lawsuits a little bit, the numbers of lawsuits in the United States related to website accessibility have been going up every year. I think there were over 4,000 last year. And I feel like I see it more in mainstream news. So there was a lot that I saw post-COVID, like about the vaccination websites not being accessible to screen reader users. And that's something that has definitely changed, which is that it's getting more news coverage and more headlines, which I think is really important for enacting change. I feel like just within the last 12 months maybe, I've been noticing among other web developers or marketing agencies that build websites that more of them are saying, hey, wait a minute, accessibility is a thing. I need to think about it. It's just as important as SEO or having a mobile responsive website. And I feel like I'm seeing a lot more of that, which is really positive.
So what are your future projects?
I mean, our biggest project right now is our software. We have what we kind of consider a paid MVP. It's only about a year old. It's being used on about 800 different websites. And our big goal for 2022 is to try and promote it and grow use of accessibility checker is what it's called, and within the WordPress community. So that's kind of one of my biggest focuses, and then really working on trying to educate other developers and agencies on what they need to do to build accessibility into their services so that they're catching more problems early on rather than having to go back and remediate at the end of a project. Because I feel like that's really the end result. You know, we're going to have better, more accessible websites if they're starting from an accessible starting point rather than, you know, having to go back and try and fix all these things after the fact.
Yeah, that's what frustrates me is they don't, like you said, we are not consulted when, you know, new websites or anything comes out, and so that's what frustrates me. So where can everybody find out about you online?
So the best place to go is equalizedigital.com. That's my website for my company, and you can get information about me there. I also have a Facebook group. It's the WordPress Accessibility Facebook group. And that's a good place if you want to talk more about website accessibility or accessibility within WordPress. And I'm in there almost every day, and that's a good place to grab me.
All right. Well, it was nice chatting with you. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.